Right, so like she said, I'm from the CARD Clinic. I want to say thank you to Tanis Hernandez, who's not here, but she's been my mentor and she's been at the CARD Clinic since we started in 2000. So no disclosures, but that's a picture of Libby Montana on the bottom. The objective of this is to provide a model for how a small rural community can influence federal public health policy by sharing experiences from Libby. So Libby is in northwest Montana. It's really geographically isolated. My nearest Walmart is about a two-hour drive one way. There, we're a frontier community with less than 6 people per square mile. And what was my other big thing? We're pretty rural anyway. So timeline of events, what happened in Libby? From 1923 to 1990, there was a vermiculite mine. And that was about 4 miles outside of town. And that vermiculite was contaminated with asbestos. In 1999, media exposed the public health problem. From 2000 to 2001, there was initial asbestos health screening. In 2000, CARD, or the Center for Asbestos-Related Disease, opened. In 2002, Libby was placed on the Superfund National Priorities List by EPA. In 2009, EPA declared the first and only public health emergency. In 2010, the Affordable Care Act was implemented, providing long-term benefits to those affected by Libby asbestos exposure. And in 2014, that benefits program was actually expanded. So we feel like for a really small community, we've done a lot to really help our patients. This is a picture of the mine. It was owned by W.R. Grace, and the mine, or the major product, was zonulite attic insulation. So this is a past and present. On the left is Libby, Montana, is where all those lines are coming from, and that's where we shipped vermiculite ore. Below that is a little bag of vermiculite ore that you could buy, and you could heat it up, and it would expand and pop, and it was a neat science experiment before you knew there was asbestos. So my husband grew up there, and that's why I moved there. And he used to play in piles. So one of the things they would do every year at the festivals was hide quarters and nickels in piles of vermiculite ore. So the little kids would go in and try to find them. Again, not knowing that there was asbestos. So today is on the right. That's a picture of Libby Ansible Fiber on the top and the road to the mine on the bottom. So in November 1999, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer came out with a series of articles that were called The Town Left to Die. On the book, on the right is a book that was printed after that as well. So they found over 200 deaths from asbestos exposure, and they found that asbestos-related disease was coming from environmental exposure, not just occupational exposures. So on the bottom is Dr. Whitehouse, who helped us start the CARD Clinic, and he was in Spokane, Washington, but he followed a lot of our patients, well, before they were our patients. He followed a lot of Libby residents with lung disease. So he corroborated that investigative report and validated the presence of disease. So how was this community exposed? It was brought home on people's work clothes. W.R. Grace Company actually gave away the product to anybody who wanted it. So they insulated their homes with it, they used it in their garden soils, and they used it to surface their driveways. The school playgrounds, athletic field, tracks, and local ice skating rinks were all surfaced with it as well. On the bottom are pictures. The one on the left is of where the ore left the mine over to the rail cars. And then it went by rail downtown, which is the picture on the right. So you can see the softball field right there in front of the bagging plant. So kids would play in the piles there as their siblings would be playing baseball. So what happened when the town figured out that this was a problem? It wasn't necessarily a real problem. So asbestos, as you know, is you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it. Is it really there? So the disaster created some major community division. People thought the problem was damaging their community image and economics, and other people thought it was a public health threat that could last for generations. W.R. Grace was either the benevolent community-focused corporation, or they were the exploitive, greedy corporation that made us sick. And the last bullet point, people were loyal to the good jobs and the gifts that W.R. Grace gave to the community, or they felt betrayed for self-interest and profit. And so there was a lot of division. So the multi-level response was EPA came in 1999, started doing testing. We were added to the National Priorities List in 2002. They're still there today cleaning up. ATSDR came in and did initial health screenings between 2000 and 2001. They found that 18% of the people who participated did have pleural changes, so likely asbestos-related disease. Company response. W.R. Grace gave financial support for screening. They started a health program, and they made a cleanup commitment. But these were mostly PR-oriented as far as we're concerned, because not much concrete helpfulness came out of that. And Lincoln County Public Health, so our Board of Health, responded by forming the CARD Clinic. So this is CARD in July 2000. We had 3 employees. I was not one of them. And it was mostly because of EPA and ATSDR getting together to help us figure out how to fund it. So I just threw this in there to say, hey, back in 1960, W.R. Grace actually knew there were health effects. And the mine didn't close until 1990, and we didn't really prove it until almost 2000. This is the CARD Clinic today. We have 23 employees. So, but CARD's roles at the beginning were to work closely with all stakeholders immediately after the disaster was realized to plan a comprehensive response, and that was mostly our Board of Health again. Our county health officer was actually Dr. Brad Black, who became our CEO. We also provided health care, engaged in political activism and patient advocacy. We promoted research to better understand what was going on and how to prevent or treat it. And we enhanced community support systems. So by political activism, this isn't a partisan issue. That was, let's help our patients, let's help the people that are exposed, let's do everything we can for them. And coordination of other community partners. So our approach, like I just said, we coordinated with community partners using an integrative approach to advocate for local stakeholders. We got everybody together, the mayor, the county commissioners, the local board of health. We talked to state, local, even national. So county and state government officials collaborated with CARD to represent local stakeholders' perspectives. And this grassroots, multi-level response led to federal policy with direct benefits for Libby, Montana. So achieving recognition and acceptance, I'm going to go through about 6 slides of how we got to where we are. So one of the big things was getting people to recognize and accept what was going on. There's a very passionate, dedicated group of people who created that initial awareness. They let the Seattle PI know what was going on, but those aren't necessarily the same people that have all the facts. So the next step is building acceptance by widening the circle of trusted supporters. Get to science, understand what's really happening, understand what you don't know and what still needs to be researched. And, of course, managing the stress. So there was confusion and frustration from complex information. There was a very unpredictable future for the town, and there could be long-term environmental, health, and economic consequences. So from the time you're exposed to asbestos to the time you get diagnosed could be anywhere from 10 to 40 years. So we're looking at the mine closed at 1990. We could see new diagnoses up until 2030. Developing a unified voice. So we had to interpret the information to clearly understand what was happening and then focus everybody in the community on solutions. So like I said, it was a very divided community, so that can be tough. So the next step was finding common goals that everyone could agree on. And some of those are a clean environment, everybody wants that, screening and health care for the affected population, and economic and community image revitalization. Also, it's important to learn to tell your story. So that's how we got as far as we have, because if people don't know, then they're not going to care. And empowering others to tell their stories. So here's a few pictures of community members and patients who are willing to share. And a few more. The next step is maintaining momentum. So the bottom bullet point, the goal is develop a lasting infrastructure and programs to address environmental and public health issues. So all of those acronyms on the right were different programs that were a year or 2 years or maybe even 5 years, but they weren't the permanent solution. So funding for health programs was intermittent, and we were trying to move from a patchwork approach to a cohesive response, which is really what the ACA did for us. So persevering to get there. The solution had to sustain over time. We had to take multiple levels of action. Each person that was involved needed to utilize their expertise or find someone else to help them. knowing when to pass the torch. So this can be pretty time-consuming and overwhelming, and it was good to be able to pass it to someone else. It's an emotional roller coaster, not knowing if there's going to be funding or health programs or availability for drugs for your patients. So team support is essential, and focusing on the positive is also essential. Next up is gaining support. So these are the groups of people we gain support from: the affected population, the local community, academic and research partners, and politicians and agencies. So those pictures are, one is a research meeting, one's a community event, and of course the third is a patient. So this is testifying in Washington, D.C. In the top left is Dr. Black. He's our medical director. The top middle is one of our board members of our board of directors. The top right is a county commissioner, and the bottom two are U.S. senators, or past U.S. senators. The top middle is Secretary Sebelius of HHS, who visited CARD in 2013 and helped us get the pilot program expanded, so we were very excited about that. Bottom left is Greenberg, congressman, and bottom right is in Washington, D.C., visiting the senator. So results achieved. You can't see that, but in the frame is a picture of the ACA, the provision that affects Libby, Montana. So this is a picture of the EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson in 2009, who declared a public health emergency in Libby. And the law is written in the ACA to not just Libby, Montana. It doesn't say Libby anywhere. It says places affected by a public health emergency declared by EPA. So we are the only one currently, but it will eventually hopefully help other communities. These are our past and current research partners. And these are the benefits we got from ACA. So we have free asbestos health screening. It's available to anyone with potential exposure in Libby who had sufficient latency, so their exposure was at least 10 years ago. This is a grant-funded program, and it is a competitive grant, so we will have to reapply again next year, but so far CARD has got it. We have Medicare eligibility for anyone diagnosed with an asbestos-related disease from Libby. So typically you need to be 65 to be on Medicare. In Libby, you see lots of 40-year-olds on Medicare. Recipients must pay, but it provides excellent benefits for a minimal price. And the pilot program. The pilot provides full coverage for certain medically warranted benefits, such as home assistance, that are not typically covered by Medicare. So if you're too short of breath because of your asbestos disease to shovel your snow, then someone can come in and do that for you, and you can stay at home. The pilot program is what got expanded this year. I think it was early 2014 that it got expanded. It originally only covered 2 counties in Montana, and now it covers 20 counties in 3 different states, so we're very thankful for that. It covers most of our patients. Lessons learned in getting there. The job isn't over after legislation is passed. So legislation, of course, leads to policy, which leads to programs, which leads to outcomes. Learning from the wisdom of others. Don't try to recreate the wheel. It just makes it more difficult if you start at the beginning. Communication is key. It was all the way through, still is. It's really important to let everybody know what's going on. Congressional staffers wield the power. So every time we go to D.C. or Helena or anywhere else, just meet with anybody and everybody you can. It doesn't matter if it's the governor or the senator. Anybody who will listen. It's okay to fail as long as you keep trying. So, of course, we didn't get grants, we lost programs, but we are where we are because we just kept trying. So keep looking forward, keep your eye on the marble. We had a board member named Mick Mills early on, and he would hand out marbles to everybody who started working at CARD. And it was, here, look towards the future, keep your eye on the marble. So lastly, have fun, of course. That's CARD staff currently. And this is one of our most successful outreach events we have every year. We bring researchers together with agency people and the community, and we invite people through the schools. So it's a really successful, fun event where people get to learn about the other side. Looking ahead, we have an ongoing commitment and attention to what's on the horizon. So EPA contributes millions of dollars annually to Libby's economy, but we'll leave town in the next 2 years because the cleanup is almost over. practical institutional controls need to be implemented to prevent future exposures because all of the asbestos won't be cleaned up. We need to figure out how to stop those exposures. And the ACA isn't necessarily a permanent solution for healthcare needs. Although we hope it is, there's always a chance that it could be repealed. One other bullet point that I forgot to put on this slide was that asbestos isn't banned in the U.S., and libby-amphibole in particular isn't even regulated because it's made of winchite and richterite, which are not regulated asbestos fibers. So that's something that we hope to change. This is a picture of McMills overlooking the Libby Valley. And that's a picture of McMills right before he died of asbestos disease.